Hey guys, welcome to the 50 Cal Studio here at Center Target Firearms and Indoor Range. I'm Brett, this is Bobby. And Bobby, we're talking about something this week that, well, everybody does and everybody knows. Concealed carry, it's a big thing.
Concealed carry is a big thing, and we are going to talk about some, our thoughts on some different myths about concealed carry. A lot of different topics.
Sure.
Surrounding concealed carry, because there are a lot. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of information out there, and we're going to try to dispel some of that or clear some of it up, one or the other.
Yes, sir. And there's a lot of things people say. You know, you hear it. I've heard it. You need to carry this.
Oh, you need
to carry that.
Well, everybody's an expert on what to carry and what not to
exactly.
carry.
Exactly. So you do you. Just find that. Find what fits
Absolutely.
You. And that's what we're going to talk about. We have some firearms here on the table, and we're going to talk about the sizes, calibers, and so forth.
Absolutely. We got a lot, and here at Center Target, we got a lot of different options that people
yes.
can choose from. But what we want to do with this is to, as we said, not just to dispel some myths and those type of things, but also not have folks make a mistake of coming
yes.
in and buying something that they've heard would be good or thought would be good without, as you said, them doing what works best for them.
Come in with an open mind and look at everything. They have a lot of things on the that back there that you can shoot on the range, and maybe you see something that you heard about you want to try, and you maybe like it, maybe not. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of different options out there, Bobby. And we're living in an age right now with all the striker fires out there and all the hammer fires. We have a lot to choose from.
We do, and you know, what we choose a lot of times plays into where I carry it at or where I would recommend people carry it at.
Sure.
One of the biggest things, we start talking about myths. You know, one of the biggest myths is, well, it's got to be the biggest, absolute biggest, baddest caliber out there or it's not going to work.
Yeah.
One of the things, that I don't watch much TV, I don't watch news or anything along those lines, but based on my background, based on my experience and training, but I do watch Forensic Files.
Sure,
plug for Forensic Files. And, you know, of the calibers we have here, and I'm not sure if you guys can see them or not, but of the calibers we've got here, we've got a 357, which is a common carry around, 38, 357. We got a 45, which have a lot of people say carry the 45, the 45, everything else pales in comparison. We've got a 40 cal. We have a 9mm. We have a 380. And we have the little old 22. If you watch Forensic Files, there are more people killed with this round right here than there are arguably anything else. Now, am I saying that's the best round to carry? No. But what I am saying, when it comes to concealed carry, it comes to self-defense, your best course of action, the best thing you can do, you can't miss quick enough to win.
That's true.
So if I've got a 50 cal, I'd rather be shot at 100 times and missed with a 50 cal than shot at once and hit with this.
Yes.
And never have I ever seen anybody that, if they were being attacked or whatever, and they used a pull to 22, we'll use it for example, as a self-defense mechanism, that the person said, oh, that's just a 22. I'm going to proceed with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
No, and every barrel I've ever looked down, it looked like it was this big anyway. So, you know, caliber doesn't, obviously, if you can shoot a 45 or you can shoot a 9mm as good as you can shoot something lower in size, then yes, that's a good choice for you if you're comfortable with shooting it. But being able to hit what you are shooting at, obviously after you're justified, and we're considering everything
sure.
here is justified as far as discussions are concerned, but being able to hit what you're shooting at is far more important to me than the size of the bullet, because if you can't hit it, it doesn't matter.
That's true. And the speed, you know, from the 9 down, speed's good. You get the Fat Boy 45 coming up, a little bit slower, but it's got more stopping power. But 22 is not going to bounce off of you. You know, you hear that a lot.
Yeah,
people say, "Yeah, shoot me a 22." It's not going.
Now, is a 22 going to be as effective if both of them hit the same place? No. I mean, it's going to pale in comparison to the bigger round. But you know, the point is don't get too wrapped around the axle about calibers. Obviously, the bigger the better, but you got to be able to hit what you're shooting at, and that's very important. We also have a lot of people that'll come in and they look at the size of the weapon, and they think, okay, that's a small, because there's a compromise with concealed carry.
Yes,
you know, you want to get it you like to have the round capacity. Usually, with round capacity means the weapon has to be bigger.
Yes,
The bigger it is, the harder it is to conceal. So a lot of times people will come in and they'll find a really, really small gun and they'll think, ooh, that's the one for me right there.
Yes.
What they don't realize is, we'll use a 9mm for example, a really small 9mm versus a bigger 9mm, the felt recoil on the smaller framed weapon is going to be far, far more felt recoil than is going to be on the bigger one. But the bigger one's harder to conceal. So there's a balance with everything that is concealed carry.
It is, and even with the holsters you choose, that's an important thing too for a concealed carry. Bobby, with the 380 to 9mm, a lot of folks disagree on that, but there's really not much of a big difference.
In what? I'm sorry.
In the difference between the 9mm and the 380
yeah,
size.
Yeah, exactly. It's a, you can see the difference here, but as far as the diameter is concerned and you know, the permanent wound channel that it's going to create, not a lot of difference. And now with the ballistics, I know LTEC, Larry Henderson,
yes,
over at Eubanks, we did some testing with some of the 380 rounds that he had over there, and the Full Metal Jacket rounds he had, the ballistics on it were just ridiculous. And I would have no problem whatsoever trusting my life to that particular round in a 380. And a 380 is a really good compromise for somebody that's doesn't like the felt recoil of the 9mm, because the 380 is less as far as felt recoil is concerned.
That's true. And, you know, folks get into the whole thing, the bigger the better, but you can get some compacts like the Hellcat some of the others that carry a lot, like the P365. I got the TAC pack, each mag 12 rounds. So that's a good
exactly. And you know, the 365, we've got some of these out here. You got the SIG 365, the Hellcat, which we have here, and you know, they carry us, and you can get extended magazines for those.
Yes.
I mean, you can carry up to 15 rounds in some of those very concealable compact pistols. You've got the anti-snag sights on some of the pistols, the SAS here in the SIG, which is wonderful for carrying in a concealed configuration, because when you pull it out, it doesn't catch on your garments or something along those lines. We've got the revolvers. A lot of people, you know, they're old school. They say, you know, I want the revolver because it doesn't mess up. Got revolvers with hammers, revolvers without. Obviously, the less resistance you have whenever you're trying to get that weapon out, the better. And then we also have these Easy Slides, the Easy Slide 380, the Easy Slide 9mm, which has a built-in, almost like the 1911 grip safety with those, which works out really good too. Because, you know, some of the most volatile times you're going to have, God forbid you have to draw this weapon out or you have to retrieve this weapon, but when you do have to retrieve it, those are some of the most volatile times you've got, whether it's in training or whatever, because those are the times you are putting it in an area or retrieving it from an area that's very close proximity to the body.
Yes, yes.
And you know, the safety mechanisms, manual safeties versus no safety, we've got all the above. A lot of times people will choose one with a manual safety just simply because it's that extra built-in mechanism that they feel to keep them safe. But one of the biggest things people can do is just training with that weapon system, that platform that they've got. That's going to be the biggest thing that helps them out, because more important than where you carry it, how you carry it, all those different things, is the training you get with them.
And, of course, Bobby, not only that, but carry position is a big thing too.
Oh, yeah. You know, and your size, the body type of the person that's carrying the weapon plays into it. But you have folks, a lot of times they'll carry it in their jacket pocket. We'll use that for example.
Yes.
And you think, well, okay, well, it's easy. And one of the reasons people will tell me, though, we carry it in our jacket pocket because it's easy to retrieve. And I'll say, okay, put your phone in your jacket pocket. Retrieve it for me. Now retrieve it while you're sitting down, because the position or condition or situation you're in, sitting, is it easy to find? Is it hard to find? Tell ladies this all the time. Where's your pistol at? It's in my purse.
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry about the pistol. Get your keys out of your purse. Get me your phone out of your purse. And you dig. So, you know, a lot of times, again, goes back to the equipment, having a configuration set up to where you can retrieve it that was designed for that reason.
Yes.
You know, carry, conceal, purse, or whatever the case may be. But also that they train to keep it in a particular location. Now, we talk about hip carry versus appendix carry. Now, this is, I'll disclaim this right now.
Yes.
This is my personal opinion. I've used a law enforcement. I used a hip holster. You know, obviously, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Appendix holster. Now it's kind of the vogue thing. I like, from a speed standpoint, I love an appendix carry holster. It's quick. For me, it's quicker to use the appendix than it is to use the hip holster. Depending on your size, you know, you may be forced to use one over the other. But there are some concerns that I have whenever I'm using the appendix holster.
Yeah, I think everybody has the concern you're getting, getting ready to address.
Right. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you can't. The argument against appendix holsters is, well, you can't retrieve it with one hand. Yes, you can. You can still retrieve it with one hand, just like you can over here. Most time you'll pull this, but let's say you're using your offhand for defense or for whatever reason. You can retrieve it with one hand regardless of where it's at.
Yes.
So, I dispel that. That's not a big deal. Sitting in the car, I can retrieve an appendix holster a lot of times better than I can retrieve the hip holster. Here's my biggest concern. Either with or without training, if I have a mistake or an issue that happens over here, now the gun's not going to go off by itself. I mean, I'm going to have to manipulate the trigger,
sure,
do something to it to make it fire. But if it does, for whatever reason, I lose a little chunk of hip. Whether I'm sitting, whether I'm standing, whatever the case may be. If I have an appendix holster and I am standing, I still run the risk of hitting a leg. But if I'm sitting, you know, you've got femoral arteries, you got a lot of things going on that, my analogy to that is, and I'm an analogy guy, is, if it's in the if my gun's in the holster, my gun's on safe, whether it's loaded or unloaded, I'm still not going to point it at my head.
Sure.
I'm still not going to point it at my chest. I'm still not going to point it at my body. I know it's loaded. I know it's in this configuration. I'm definitely not going to point it to anything that's going to create a lot of problems for me somewhere along the way.
The bottom line is practice.
Practice.
We all practice. I practice. My problem is healthy at home and knee surgery turned into happy and fat with knee surgery, and 30 pounds later, here I am. But I practice. You know, I can see when you're talking about, you know, appendix carry, it is a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it more. Practice, folks. That's train, and get to where you're comfortable doing both, actually. And carry where you – I carry 4 o'clock position because right now that's the most comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody do you. Just practice.
Absolutely. You got to find something that works for you, and you got to find – to mitigate if something were to go wrong, the problems that could manifest himself. Because, you know, we're talking about and concerning ourselves with range work and all those things – we talk about from a self-defense standpoint, the reason that people conceal carry or carry concealed, now we're having to retrieve that under duress.
Yes.
And when we're retrieving that under duress, things happen. So I definitely don't want it pointed at a particular point of my part of my body. And,
exactly,
you know, with training, those things can be mitigated and minimized. But still, you know, a lot of people come in and buy guns, they'll buy ammo, they'll buy all these different things, but they don't think about the training aspect of it, and they don't think about it. Even we get this, I don't carry one, that I do, but that people will tell me this. They'll say, we're not going to carry one in the chamber because it's safer. I submit to them unless they train every single time, okay, oh, I'm under duress, I'm going to rack the action, and all those things, you know, they're going to be behind the power curve when something, God forbid, happens. It's kind of like, to me, again, analogy is that I'm going to put my seatbelt on once I see that I'm getting ready to crash.
Exactly.
It's a little too late then a lot of times. And I'm not, you know, to each his own, like you said, you do you. But for me, the less steps I have to go through, the better.
You know, there's a training exercise where you take the target and move it on a person when you're training, and you let them rack it, see how many shots they can fire off, to if they have one in chamber, how well it. And I think it's all mental. I think once you get comfortable, one in the chamber is the best thing to do because for your well-being. But I think it's all mental.
It is. And you know, people have to realize that regardless, there may be situations where you would have to go through the same remedial action drills if you had it fully loaded and one in the chamber as if you didn't. In other words, you're in a self-defense scenario. You pull your firearm out. You try to engage me in self-defense.
Sure.
It doesn't work. well, now I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have to perform a remedial action drill the same as I would anytime that weapon goes click or doesn't do what you want it to
do.
You've got to perform a remedial action drill, and 90% of the people we talk to or deal with, they don't know what to do, or they haven't practiced what to do in the event it doesn't do what they want it to do. Whatever you do, and I have people that will say, well, listen, I am going to, regardless of what you say, regardless of how much anything that goes on, I am going to carry a gun, I am going to put the manual safety on, and I am not going to carry one in the chamber.
Yeah.
So my thing is this. Well, that's okay. If that's where we are, then every time you practice, you need to start in that configuration. In other words, you don't need to assume or make simulate that we've already done these things. Every time I shoot it, I want to put the safety on, make sure there's not one in the chamber, lay it down or put it in a configuration. Boom, I'm under stress. I pick it up. I manipulate the safety, and I rack the slide, and now I go to work. So through the if you're going to do that, you got to train all those different steps. And even if you say, well, I'm going to carry it charged, I'm going to carry it good to go, all ready to rock and roll, there's still the potential that I could have to go through these same drills. Because if it doesn't fire, what do we do?
Tap, rack and roll.
Absolutely.
And nine times out, you may not have time to do that.
No.
So, and even, you know, I don't have any with manual safeties on them, but I like to trigger safeties,
mm-hmm.
But like the Glock 19
right.
and so forth. But, you know, it's a big thing. People need to train. And that's all it is, guys, training with whatever firearm you're looking for, or whatever size. And there's, I mean, you don't want to carry a 5-inch, you know, right. barrel on your side or your appendix carry, but.
Well, and you know, you've been here plenty, and obviously Joe knows, is we see all different sorts of.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times concealed carry is concealed, means obviously I can't see it.
Yeah.
So, but we have folks that will come in and they'll have a rig on that's covered with a garment, but it's far from concealed.
Yes.
It's like, okay, that has got to be at least a 44 or a 50 cal or something on that person's hip or on in their appendix. They're obviously carrying a weapon. So, you know, I guess my question is, have we defeated a purpose? The purpose of concealed carry for me, when I think of concealed carry, is that I have a weapon that is concealed.
Yes.
I have a mm-hmm. firearm that is concealed. Nobody else can see. Nobody.
Yes.
They may make the assumption that I have it, but they don't know that I have it.
Yes.
And I can retrieve it and do what I need to do in the event I need to use it. It goes back to training. Now,
yeah.
I know you and I have talked about different things you do.
Sure,
That you and your wife and different things to
To
prepare her.
You know, the concealed carry purses are a great thing for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have her practice with that. I practice with her. I put blue painter's tape on the wall in the living room. And I have her practice drawing in different scenarios,
Absolutely.
Situations, and in drawing a bead on the painter's tape. You know, with me, it's all about training. I don't have the background you or Joe or some of the other guys here. I mean, you know, like I said before, I'm just an old fat radio guy that really enjoys this. And
right.
really the training aspect to me is a good thing and something I like. And working with my wife or working with others, my niece or whatever, it's a good training aspect. Just train in your living room.
Yeah.
Like Joe said earlier, take all your ammo, ammunition
sure
out.
That's
put it in
thing.
Another room.
Yep.
Put it in another room. Make sure your weapons are clear, your firearms are clear. Hand it to someone else, your wife, to look at it, make sure it's clear, and then practice.
Yeah, you can, and that's the most important thing, making sure it's clear, making sure it's safe. And it just takes a very short period of time to do that. You can get zip ties. You know, a lot of times people that aren't that familiar with weapons or are you new to firearms, I'll tell them, I say, make sure somebody checks it, make sure it's clear, and then run a zip tie through it. And that way it's not locked up, and anybody can see that it is in fact safe. Just like you said, run it in that configuration. Try it in that configuration you've got it in, or in a purse in a particular area, and just have and tell your significant other, whomever, say, listen, whenever I say this particular keyword, you retrieve it.
Yes.
And I'm going to see how fast, how smooth you do. And you'll start seeing them now. Now we're strategically placing them exactly. here as opposed to, I've seen people try to get a pistol, a firearm out of their pocket.
Yes.
And lock every gear they had in it because they got it and made a fist. Once they got it in there and the fist was bigger than the hand, it wouldn't come out. Yeah. And under stress, it just continued to get worse. Because this is the thing, we train, and it's hard. I mean, you can't really do a good job of replicating what is going to be a real life or death situation. So it's going to be far worse than it actually is. But I can assure you that if you're ever in one of these situations, that the stress, you're going to hope you trained and trained and trained and trained where it's perfect muscle memory, but you also have to figure in all these different things in the event it didn't go exactly the way you want to. Now, one of the things we don't have up here, Brett, and we have a lot of them back here as well in the store, is the RMR.
Yes.
The red dot optics. And that's a really, really good tool to use. You know, obviously some folks will say, well, that's just an extra hassle. Yeah, they're really good. I see a lot of police departments actually going to these for long. Now, it is a little extra as far as potentially getting hung on something. Yeah. But with training, everything is solvable. You just got to weigh the pros versus the cons. Yeah,
training,
it's just something good for
them. Yeah, training in the right holster makes a big difference. I know when you get to a certain age, red dots help a whole lot.
Yeah,
they
red
really
dot,
do. You get to a certain point in age where the eye's not working too well. So they really do. But Bobby, we've talked about it. I swear, I don't think we've missed anything on this today. I've enjoyed this one because I know it's like he gets on a roll. He's good at this.
Yeah,
I just kind of push him. But we have a lot here that you can choose from. So if you do not know what you're wanting or you're looking at, come on in. I know when my wife was deciding, I was giving her the information what she may want to carry, this and that, and this and that. She come in here, didn't listen to me. She listened to,
Google,
Rick, Jim. No. Rick, Jim, and Dan talked to her. And I listen, that's why this place is so special to me because it's a bunch of good guys. And if you do not know what you're wanting or what you're looking for, ask questions. That's the best thing. Ask questions.
Yeah, we'll have people come in all the time and they'll say, okay, I've looked, I've done all the research. This is the firearm I want.
Yes.
This is the caliber I want. And we'll say, are you 100% sure? Yes. We'll say, okay, we have the luxury of having an indoor range here.
Yes.
We have the luxury of having a lot of these firearms on the range back here or a real close equivalent thereof. So we'll say, okay, let's go back and try it out. And they'll fire one, two rounds. And I've had people literally fire one round, set it down and say, that we're 100% convinced that's the one for me.
Yes.
So now we go backward. If it was a 45, for example, now we try a 40. 40, still too much. Try a 9mm. 9mm still too much. We go 380. And we go down to, I don't care what it is. If you can't hit the target with it,
exactly.
It's not the one for you. You need a rock or a slingshot. If there's nothing up here you can hit the target with, this is not the thing. You got to have a knife or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not your thing.
My wife, the first thing she did was get a little 22 Walther.
Absolutely.
She loves it.
Perfect.
I love shooting that. Then she went to a 380. Now everything's 9mm. She's cost me a lot of money because you guys. But I love you for it anyway. But
keep it or safe. It's
yes.
All, yeah.
But everybody has this this idea from others. Got to have a Glock. Got to have a Glock. I carry a Glock and a Walther. My Walther is my favorite. But I unintentionally sold a gun out here for you guys one day. This young lady was in there looking at glass because that's what she was told to look at. So and I said, well, are you having a hard time? And so I showed her the easy slides and come find out she found out I didn't work here.
Yeah.
And she was fine, but I talked to everybody. I don't care. But it's you do you. That's the bottom line. You do you. Find the right holster. You can run up a lot of money in holsters. Without question, yes. Just be you and find that special one. I don't mind if, I've got a buddy of mine or some holsters of mine. I don't mind because try them. Try different things. You can run up a lot of money in different things.
You can, and you know, it makes it really good when you can do a one-stop shop. And we got some guys back here that actually make holsters now with First Law Customs. But like you said, I mean, I'm not dedicated to any one particular brand. I like Glocks. I have Glocks. I like Sigs. I have Sigs. I have Smiths. Yeah, some of the beauties of the great attributes of the Smith & Wesson EZ is just that. It is so easy to manipulate. It is people with weak hands, and you don't have to be weak. I mean, just because you got one don't mean you're weak. If you just like easy operation, it's a perfect pistol.
It really is.
This SAS, the SIG, if you don't like the new sighting system on it, you should come in and just look at that just to get a good feel. I can see some competition, this being a competition design set up as far as optics are concerned on this. You've got single shots, you've got automatic, we got revolvers. There's every configuration. This Hellcat, which has got the U-shaped rear sight post with the fiber optic front and the magazine capacity, that's really, really good. You can set them up for RMR. You don't have to. Come in and see what you like. Come in and see which one you can hit the target with. But just like I said, whether you choose this one or this one, and this one is the 22, and this one is the 45, and we've got 44s, and we've got 50 cal A's and all that, but as long as you can hit the target with it, you can defend yourself with it.
And that's a good thing. Stop on by. They have everything here. Like Bobby said, you can one-stop shop here. These guys are great. Come on by. Gift cards. The holidays are here.
Yes.
Christmas. Thanksgiving's here. So, Bobby, they can get everything right here. And, my man, happy Thanksgiving to you.
To my brother.
And we'll see you soon. And, guys, happy Thanksgiving to you. And we'll see you back here next week.
God bless.